This audio file is created by Panopreneur. You can get it at www.panopreneur.com. 5 Easter Tuesday. First posted April 22, 2008, Acts 17:22-31. The meaning and purpose of life, paraphrase. Paul was in Athens waiting for Silas and Timothy to join him, and he noticed that the city was full of idols, Acts 17:16. Paul had an opportunity to address the Athenians in a public forum, so he began by saying that he had noticed that the Athenians were very religious, since Paul had seen the shrines and objects of their worship. Paul had noticed a shrine to an unknown god. Paul said that what they worshipped as unknown, Paul now proclaimed to them. God, the creator of everything in this world, who reigns as Lord of heaven and earth, doesn't live in shrines built by men, or need help from humans to do things for him. He has no need for us to give him anything. He is the one who has given us everything, including life and breath. And he made from one every nation of men to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their habitation, that they should seek God, in the hope that they might feel after him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us, Acts 17:26-27. Paul was formally educated and familiar with Greek writings and quoted Epimenides and Aretes to say that in God, we live and move and have our being, and are indeed his God's offspring, Acts 17:28. Since we are his children, we shouldn't think that God is like some earthly object like silver, gold, stone or wood, created by the art and imagination of humans. God has excused past times when we were ignorant, but he now commands all people everywhere to repent, turn from sin to obedience to God's word, because he has set a day of judgment, when all people will be judged, by a person, Jesus Christ, whom God has appointed, and has affirmed this to the world by raising him from the dead. Paul had been persecuted for preaching the gospel and had to flee to Athens, and while there, waiting for his missionary helpers, he made the most of his opportunity to preach the gospel. His usual practice had been to go to local synagogues, but here instead he gathered a crowd at the local forum, the Areopagus, and presented the gospel. Paul started with what he had observed about their culture and presented the gospel in that perspective. Our situation is the same in our culture today in many respects. There are many signs that people are religious, but there is also a lot of idolatry. People still worship idols of gold and silver, wealth and material possessions, and the work of their hands, career, success, family, etc. In many instances, nominal churches have become shrines built by humans to the unknown God, because the congregation and leadership have allowed secular culture to enter, influence and change them, instead of being an influence in the community for Christian discipleship. They think they know God, but God is unknown to them personally and individually, because they haven't been reborn, John 3:3-5-8, spiritually by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Only Jesus gives the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9-11, 15-16. God has always intended to establish an eternal kingdom of his people who willingly choose to trust and obey him. This creation has been designed to give us the opportunity to seek and come to personally know, trust and obey God. God has given us the freedom to choose whether or not to trust and obey him and the opportunity to learn by trial and error that his way is our best interest. God knew at the beginning of creation that if we had freedom to choose, we would need to be forgiven, so he designed creation with the Savior, built in, John 1:1-5, 14. Jesus is God's one and only provision for the forgiveness of our sins, disobedience of God's word, Acts 4:12, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10, see God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right. God is not going to tolerate disobedience forever. There is a day of judgment coming when everyone who has ever lived will be accountable to God through Jesus Christ, the righteous judge whom God has appointed. Matthew 25:31-46, 28 minutes and 18 seconds. Those who refuse to accept Jesus and trust and obey him will be condemned to eternal destruction in hell. Those who accept Jesus and trust and obey him will be reborn, John 3:3-5-8, by the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, and will receive eternal life in God's kingdom in heaven, paradise restored to perfection. God has revealed his Savior, Jesus Christ, to the world, and has attested to him by raising him from the dead to eternal life. Jesus is the only way to forgiveness and salvation, spiritual enlightenment, personal knowledge of and fellowship with God, and eternal life in God's kingdom, Matthew 14:6. The New Testament is the eyewitness account of those who experienced Jesus' resurrection, including Paul, the prototype of the modern, post-resurrection, born-again, disciple and apostle of Jesus Christ, as we all can be. Paul and all modern, born-again, disciples personally testify that Jesus is risen and eternally alive. He is God in human form, Matthew 1:23, Colossians 2:8-9, John 20:28. Jesus is alive and present in this world today. He is very near to us, but we are spiritually blind and must grope until we find him. If we seek him, we will find him, Matthew 7:7-8. Only Jesus can heal our spiritual blindness. Only Jesus can make us spiritually alive. Is Jesus your Lord? Matthew 7:21-23, Luke 6:46. Are you Jesus' disciple? John 8:31. Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? John 14:21. Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed? Acts 19:2. Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-14, Ephesians 1:13-14.